Daddy gang. It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
And 5, 6, 7, 8. Hello, hello, hello. We are back, baby. We're fucking back at it again for another episode of Call Her Daddy. Hi. Hello, everyone. This week, I had the honor of sitting down with Nico Tortorella. Nico is an accomplished actor in both film and television. If you are not familiar with the show Younger, I am obsessed. Nico plays the role of Josh, who is a straight tattoo artist, but that is acting. In real life, Nico came out as sexually fluid in 2016, and in their book Space Between, which was released in 2019, they wrote, quote, "I am comfortable today calling myself a queer, non-binary, bisexual, happily married, polyamorous, non-monogamous human being." Daddy gang, we are going to talk more about that today and Nico's experience with polyamory, which we've never discussed on Call Her Daddy. Nico uses the pronoun they, and so does their spouse, Bethany. What I have been realizing in recent interviews is that I'm so lucky and fortunate, sorry to sound corny, but it's true, that I get to sit down with guests with so many different life experiences outside of my bubble. And I'm realizing kind of in the last like month or so that in the best way, this is forcing me to learn. And I would go as far to say also adjust my perspective on things. And I'm here for it. So thank you, Nico, for creating such an open dialogue in this interview. At one point, Nico turns to me in the interview and asks, "Alex, would you be comfortable dating and being in a relationship with a bisexual man?" The question caught me off guard. And I think you'll be surprised by my answer. The moment we wrapped the interview and Nico left the hotel room, I felt different. And I hope you guys feel the same afterwards. Here is Nico Tortorella. This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Can I give you a hug? Oh my God, it is so nice to meet you. I'm Alex. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this. I'm having PTSD being in this hotel right now.
Why?
Disclosure. We'll get into it.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I'm so sad because I live in LA now. This is the first interview I've done this season not in my house.
Oh, wow.
So like this is like a new vibe for me. I'm used to like sitting on my couch, but like, yeah. I'm sad you couldn't come hang, but I'm happy that we're here.
Yeah, I'm so glad this worked out. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Are you in New York? Are you living in New York?
I live here. Yeah. I've been here over 10 years.
You are partaking in Fashion Week?
I have been. Yes.
How is it going?
It's been comical, I would say.
Why?
you know, I think 2020 just changed everything for everybody, right? It flipped the script, and there was like a priority reset. And to, I mean, this is my first week, like, back in real public spaces, right? Like, celebrating not only fashion, but like fame and riches in a new way now. It just feels different. Yeah.
Do you like it, or do you wish you could go back a little bit to the old life of like no one really knowing who you were?
Ooh, that we just segued.
I know. I didn't need to get that deep that fast. But no, I was just like,
no, that's a great question. It's also been interesting because this has been like the first couple weeks that I've been in public without a mask on, like in like real public situations. It's been nice being recognized again. Yeah. There's something really beautiful about it. And like, because I play myself and other people on television, right? People have this preconceived notion that like, I'm Josh, which I'm not. Right. There are parts of me that are very much so his, and vice versa. Right. But like, I'm so much more than that, right? And people forget that. But like, you know, and I'm sure you understand this too, like it's a really raw, vulnerable space to live in. I always knew it was going to happen though.
Here we go. Let's get it. So we're going back to the beginning. You grew up in the suburbs of Chicago in an Italian household. Mm-hmm. Can you paint the picture and describe to us like your childhood, the house? Did you share a bedroom? Did you have a dog? Like, paint young Nico the life.
So we all lived on the same block. There were two houses in the same block. My mom and her sister lived across the street. I had three cousins that were like my brothers and sisters. I grew up with my brother in the house, Rocco. My grandma lived in the basement, who was a gold dealer, antique extraordinaire, hence all of the jewels that I'm wearing. And my mom's my best friend. She was one of my best friends growing up. My brother and I are super close. My parents got divorced when I was 4. So I lived with my stepdad and my family across the street. And it was just like, we were all always together.
In the book, you discuss male figures in your life leaving.
Yes.
Uncle, father. Can you?
Yes, research. We love a researcher.
Can you describe how that affected and shaped you at a young age? Because what age did your dad leave?
When I was 4. I remember the day specifically. I remember being in the kitchen, and it was a pretty modest home. I'm definitely from like a upper middle class neighborhood, and I went to school with like some of the richest kids in the country, right? But like we're on the other side of the tracks. My dad was he worked public works. So he like drove a garbage truck, and all the men in my family are like firemen. So we're like from a different cut. Right. And I remember being in the kitchen. I remember like standing in the middle of the two of them. My grandma was at the base of the stairs. The two of them were having an argument, and I would always sleep in my dad's room. My mom and dad pretty much always had separate bedrooms for as long as I can remember. And I would always sleep in my dad's room. And I remember the night that like I went in there and he wasn't there. And like, that was it. Like, heartbreak.
So you didn't see him leave. You just went in.
Sure I did. Yeah. I don't have that locked memory out of him like driving away. He moved not far away. He moved like a couple miles away to an apartment above a bar. He was bartending for a little bit. My mom owned a bar. Bars were the big part of my life growing up. I basically grew up in a bar.
Oh, wow.
I started serving shots at like 5 and 6 years old.
Very young.
It was like a Cheers bar. It was like the same guys every day that were in there. And like, I had relationships with them. Like,
you're like, hey, Bob, want a shot?
Oh, fully.
You're like 6.
Fully. Like, that's how it was.
So when your dad left, how did that affect you?
There was for sure a hole left, right? Yeah. In my heart, like in my spirit. I don't really remember there's a lot of like blank periods in my childhood. I don't know if you can, you know, are familiar with that at all. My stepdad came not that long after, like within a couple years, and my mom was dating, and I spent a lot of time with guys that she was dating, and but it was like, I didn't know that they were necessarily dating. Like, it was a lot of the bar guys were just like always around.
Oh, okay.
And then my stepdad came, and he was like totally opposite of my dad. Irish, Catholic, worked on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He was a trader, like totally different energy. And he was also like a professional, not body lifter, but like, what's the word that I'm thinking of? Lifting very heavy weights. Not a bodybuilder, but yeah, he's like hates when I say bodybuilder because that's not what he was.
But I am like, not a bodybuilder. You're like, but
yeah,
what is it?
Yeah, power lifter. That's what it's called. Wow. Power lifter. Yeah. Okay, so he was good. A fucking beast. Whoa. Yeah, like big gay energy too, but like not beast. There at all. And he like always wore. He had this like little tiny striped bathing suit that he would wear on vacation. And it was like, he looked fucking amazing in it.
Right.
But like he would order all these things. I don't know if you've ever heard of International Mail, the like catalog back. How old are you?
I'm 27.
27. Okay. So this is like definitely before
okay.
your day. There was this catalog that like all the garish men would right. order their clothes from. And he always had it in the bathroom. And it was like a bunch of like hot naked dudes in like little thongs, dick out, just like in the bathroom. That's where he would order all of his underwear from. But he's like not gay at all.
Right.
Like super straight, like a little machismo, like throw around gay slurs like it was nothing, but not like homophobic. But like that was my first introduction to like sexualized men.
Would you like go into the bathroom?
And jerk off, yeah, for sure.
What was your relationship to your... Or is your relationship to your biological younger brother?
I mean, he's one of my best friends.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a lot like my dad, actually.
Okay.
Like, the only thing that my brother can see is right in front of him. Sometimes I wish I did live more like my brother and my dad. And, like, I didn't always have to unpack everything. Everything. It's I am constantly, all day, every day, in the spiral. And it's fucking brilliant and beautiful. Right. And, like, I thrive in it. The human experience is struggle, right? And trauma.
And sometimes you feel like overburdened.
Right.
Like my mom is a psychologist. Oof. So I grew up in my household. It was like, well, how do you feel about that? And so I've been like very trained to like get to the root, go deeper. There's always another layer. Like I kind of get what you're saying in that spiral of constantly thinking.
Totally.
We're going to get deeper on that because we're cruising through the childhood. So I was going to ask you, growing up, was your household sex positive aside from seeing the magazines?
It was straight sex positive.
Oh, wow.
My mom bought me a Playboy when I was like 7 years old. We were like in the family pantry and I like picked up a Carmen Electra Playboy and she was like, oh, you want that? And I was like, yeah, like, sure. Like, if it was a woman, it was cool, right? Any conversations about same sex or like, you know, outside like perspectives off limits. I remember the first time I like even realized being gay was a thing. I was in the back of my mom's car and I was like, I don't understand why two men or two women would ever be together. Like, they can't have babies, right? Isn't that why we're here? We're here to procreate. Like that was like my basic early understanding of sex.
Right.
And she was like, what are you talking about? It's not about having kids. Like two men fucking holding hands is disgusting. And I was like, oh, it's like that. Oh, okay. And that was like the first understanding that I had of alternative relationships. My mom has come a very long way.
Yes,
I'm just going to preface, like, she's my best friend in the entire world.
Yeah. But that was your first introduction.
They never knew any queer people, like, at least not out.
No, I get that generation. And then like being raised, there was such a lack of openness and fluidity back then.
There just wasn't language for it in the same way there was today.
Right.
There is today. Like the men in my family are very queer, like inherently feminine. But it has nothing to do with sexuality, right? And like, or even identity for that matter. Like it's, the women ran the house. They were like Italian women, held everything together. And my dad's super effeminate. And there was like a big chunk of time where I hadn't seen my dad. We just kind of like separated for years. And the first time I saw him it was over 5 years. The first time I saw him, I surprised him at his house and we wound up drinking together. It was the first time we like really drank together and we got fucking hammered. Mm-hmm. And like, I see my dad sitting at this kitchen table, like legs crossed, fingers fancy fingers.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God, like I am yours. And I like that was never a thing that I even thought about growing up until I started unpacking like identity, right?
Was there ever an instance when you were growing up where you felt out of place? Like, was it high school? Like, when were you like, huh? Like, I don't agree actually or feel what they're saying. I don't identify with that.
Well, when my mom said that about two men holding hands, it was definitely like, oh, like, I don't think that's gross, right?
Got
like,
it.
I understand that I am different immediately. And I mean, I was an actor. I was a hockey player first, hockey player and lacrosse player.
Super, really?
Yeah,
bro, love, Butch. Love hockey.
Yeah, love hockey.
Love hockey.
You've dated some hockey players, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, and my dad works for the NHL. Oh, so I grew up and I'm like, hockey, yes. Hockey.
Oh,
yes,
I love. Lived on the ice, love. For sure. I was a mascot for a little bit.
Love a good mascot.
Love a good mascot. I was a dog. I was Rusty the dog for the Chicago Steel, which is a hockey team.
And then when did you know you wanted to start acting?
So my mom was basically like, hey, I want both my boys to be a little more outgoing, extroverted than they are. Let's get them in the theater. There was a local audition for The Wizard of Oz Children's Theater, which was like less than a mile from my house. I went in, we both got cast as Munchkins, and like, that was it. I quit playing hockey immediately. I was like, oh, this is where I belong. This is my space.
So you were popular in high school.
I was. I was stoned in high school.
All the time.
Yeah.
Did you ever get in trouble for it? Ever get caught?
I got arrested a couple times. I got arrested at my fucking high school graduation. I have not been invited back to the high school. All of the alumni, like Beck Bennett went to my high school from SNL. Like,
right.
There are a lot of working people like from my high school. The acting coaches a few years ago brought alumni. I can't believe I'm even fucking saying this right now. Brought alumni to New York to come see a play. They emailed every single person that lived in New York except for me. And I'm like one of the only working actors that lives in New York.
You're like, guys,
And so I sent an email. Like,
you sent an email?
Of course I fucking sent an email.
Like, I love it.
Like, what's the problem here? And so I wound up going and like straight up one of the teachers was like, honestly, Nico, we're just like intimidated by you. And I'm like, okay, that's partially my fault. Like,
you're like, facts, but no, I kind of respect that so much. Like, I had a lot of issues in high school where like now they're calling me to want to come back. But I'm like,
sure, yeah.
I'm
after,
like,
after Spotify, girl. After Spotify.
After Spotify, they're like, Alexandra, will you please come do the nice big speech to all? And I'm like, you know what? Maybe.
I'm down. I would love to go talk to the kids.
Right?
You grew up in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Where in Pennsylvania?
Bucks County.
Bucks County. That's the one right outside of Jersey, right?
Yes.
I want to move to Bucks County so bad. We're looking at properties in Pennsylvania right now. I want like...
It's beautiful. It really is.
The five-year plan here is to leave the city and have like hundreds of acres and a working farm with kids running around. My partner and I are trying to get pregnant right now.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's a fucking process.
I can't even imagine.
I just wish we learned more about how to get pregnant and not how to not get pregnant. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, we think that we can sit on a fucking toilet and get pregnant. And that's just, like, not how it works at all.
So we're gonna get to your relationship, too.
Yeah.
Because you came out as sexually fluid.
Oh, yes.
And in space between your memoir that was released in 2019, you speak about your sexuality. How do you identify today?
I identify as Nico Tortorella. Yeah. It's complicated. These conversations are... there's so many layers to identity, right? And like, if you really start unpacking sexuality, inevitably you start unpacking gender and race and class and socioeconomic status. And it just is like, it just keeps going and going and going and going. I'm at this point where all pronouns are welcome. Like, my sexuality is ever changing. There's nothing fixed. I am attracted to all types of people. Most of the time I'm not attracted to a single person. I'm in this place right now with sex where I think it's fucking stupid.
Oh my God. Like, first person to come on Call of Daddy and be like, sex is fucking stupid.
I love sex. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's such a beautiful thing. It's an extension of love. But like, from a physical standpoint, like this idea of just like a quick fix, it's like getting high. It's like getting off. And like, I just am living in a different...
Right.
I'm in a higher chakra, so to speak, right now.
Are you recently having sex and you're like, this is stupid?
Well, I'm only having sex to get pregnant right now.
Okay.
And I haven't had sex with a dude in 2 years. Okay. I haven't had sex with anyone except for my partner since February of 2020.
Which
is strange, which is we have never been this monogamous and straight in the 15 years that we've known each
other. How do you feel?
It's been a fucking process.
Okay.
Like I miss other partners that I have for sure. And like, potentially that's why I'm having this idea about sex right now, because like, A, I'm just forced to look at my biology in a different way when we're having the gender conversation, like penis, vagina, right? That's like where I am right now, right? And I am addicted and in love with the idea that I will have a child soon. And all of my energy is directed to that person. And it's okay to put my, you know, alternative sex life on hold for a minute. It's not going away entirely, right? Like, I'm going to stay with someone in a couple of weeks who I haven't seen in a really long time. Mm-hmm. Like, my partner's been dating a little bit. Okay. It's like just now kind of getting back to where we were. Right. But like, you know, it bends and shifts.
Did you have a conversation to like say, let's put it on hold, or just naturally came to a halt because you're trying to get pregnant and just all the energy is there?
Well, yeah. We were just living in our house upstate for over a year straight.
Like, right. You're not gonna like
in the middle of nowhere,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's also the most consecutive time we've ever spent together in 15 years. And we got exponentially closer, like fall deeper and deeper in love every single day. Like, we're killing it right now.
That's what I want to know. Like, you're married.
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell me how you met Bethany. Like, how, because you've known each other for so long.
15 years. Yeah, just over 15 years now. We met playing beer pong in college.
Beer pong. Eyes lock. You're like,
oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah. But Bethany was like, no.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. Bethany was like, no. Bethany was like pretty much engaged at the time. Yeah. And
tell
like
me.
Had a cross around their neck and was like, I'm in love and I don't believe in evolution. And I was like, okay.
Let's
get
you
into this. And within a couple of weeks, we were sleeping together and the boyfriend was gone. And it's been, you know, it's been a labor of love. We've grown up together in so many ways.
Yeah.
I met Bethany 2 days after I moved out of my mom's house.
Wow. So you literally grew up together.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And we've been every iteration of relationship and have been best friends. It was like the longest we ever went without talking to each other was like maybe a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I want to get into your relationship first. You were outed by your brother to your mom?
I was. Yeah, I was.
And then again by an undercover New York Post reporter.
Yes, come on, page 6.
Fuck you. You said your initial reaction was anger and betrayal, understandably.
With which one? Both?
Was it both or?
With my brother, yeah, for sure. I was also drinking. I mean, I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
And my alcoholism is like very closely tied to my identity and my sexuality and my gender, right? It was like I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to be in the world because of how I was raised, because of what was thrown on me when I like started to become famous. I mean, the amount of conversations that I had 12, 13 years ago with managers and agents about like, shut the fuck up. Don't say anything. This is who you need to be. Cut your hair off. Like, if you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And like, that's what Hollywood was like.
Right.
It still is. Still is. Especially for people that look like me. Thank God it's gotten to a much better place.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of betrayal, but like I wasn't in a place where I could really like even unpack what was happening. Like I was just like, fuck the world type of vibe. I was numbing all the time.
When did you realize alcohol was a problem in your life?
You know, growing up in this industry, I didn't really go to college. I went to college for a year and a half and dropped out and started working and got a taste of fame when I was like 19, 20 years old. And like when you're put in these rooms with a bunch of famous kids, like drugs and alcohol are just there and there's nobody looking out for them. And so like I was in that world for a long time, you know, like partying with the best of the best. But when I was just like drinking alone at home, you know, and like hitting the bottle of vodka at 6 o'clock in the morning. So like I didn't have a hangover. Right. And then would just stay drunk for like 6 days in a row. and then would go to the Korean spa, fucking sweat for 24 hours and like start the cycle all over again and go to work and I would be fine.
Did it ever interfere with your work?
Not on set. There was okay. like rock bottom, like the last kind of hurrah was first season of Younger premiere party. And I wound up getting hammered that night in like front of a bunch of like execs and other actors and like fell and hit my head on a fucking table like this and was bleeding and like don't remember anything and like woke up the next day covered in piss and blood and like was trying to like how the like I couldn't get out of the room. I couldn't get out of the room. Racked up like a $10,000 fucking bill and I was just like, okay, this is it.
You discuss when like if you're playing an alcoholic, you would lean the fuck in. When people talk sometimes about method acting, it's like you can go down a dark spiral of like
I have. Yeah, no. I did this movie called Hunter and Game. And I was like this drug addict, alcoholic, DJ, like super gorilla. We would like shoot in New York. We played shows in New York where people thought we were actually musicians. And I was Lindsay Lohan and I like have a history together and we were kind of like seeing each other again when that movie I was in a dark place in my life. I was drinking and doing a lot of drugs and it's when I asked Lindsay Lohan to marry me. And yeah, I like called production one night and was like, no, I'm not coming to work tomorrow. Like, we're getting a fucking jet. We're going to Vegas. Like, I'm getting married. Like, I'll be back in 24 hours.
Stop.
Thank God my agents called. They were like, shut the I will fucking Nico? Get there right now and murder you. Yeah.
So you didn't get married to Lindsay Lohan, turns out.
No, I love her dearly.
She seems amazing. Wait, yes. That is a pretty epic story.
It's a pretty good one.
How did drinking affect your romantic relationships?
Oh, I mean, it destroyed every relationship that I had, for sure. And I have lived the life of a fucking, like, princess. Like, I have been in the most ridiculous, Disney, beautiful relationships that, like, possibly exist. And I hurt a lot of people. I hurt a lot of people. I did a lot of shitty things. And I just was tired of hurting other people, you know?
I've like had those moments when then you look back and you're like, fuck, that was awful that I did that. But like also then shapes you to like have those memories for me personally, allow me to like constantly work to be a better partner now in the present.
Oh, totally.
Having those reflections of like, why the fuck did I do that?
Yeah.
And it says more about you obviously than them. They're like just a pawn in like what you're going through.
Right.
But it's, when you look back, it's hard to look back sometimes, but I'm sure you've had those moments and now you're fucking sitting here and you're able to speak about it. But in the moment, it's hard to like see it.
And then I wrote a book about it.
And right? then you
and then I
book.
Like added a bunch of my relationships to paper and then had to have conversations with people that like I was writing a book about.
How?
There was one person that I didn't reach out to and I have no idea how, or if she read it, how she took it.
Do you think
it.
She knows?
I mean, sure yeah. she does. And like, I feel terrible about it. Like, I wish we had a relationship. I'm pretty close with most of my exes.
Which is rare.
There's like a couple that will never talk to me again.
There's always a couple. Yeah. It can't be like every single one. We are yeah. best friends. There's yeah. always got to be a couple. Yeah. That's life, yeah. right?
But like, it was, you know, and also when I had my podcast, Love Bomb, like I brought a lot of exes on. We talked about
fucking
like how,
wild.
Have you done that?
There's a couple, you know how you just said like, there's a couple, yeah. I have a couple that I'm like, I don't think, well also cause their careers, like they would never come on the podcast because of their careers. Mm. But, and then there's like, there's only one that it's like bad blood, you know who you are. and then there are some that I've thought of, like, I even thought, I was talking the other day to my friend. I was like, what if the guy lost my virginity to? Like, I had him on because there was so much love there
yeah.
and so much time has passed. So, like, it is an interesting
content.
I know.
Do
I know.
It.
Well, now I'm getting motivated.
I want that
conversation. I'm like, okay. Okay. Yeah.
But you're, like, super secretive about who you're dating.
Secretive,
right?
But I've had where... So, did you use names?
Some.
Okay.
Most. I changed two people's names.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I'm making up characters, but... The daddy gang finds all of them. So like those are my listeners. And so it's not really private. Like everyone knows who each one is. Like they know who Slim Shady is, the Canadian, door number three. Like I've got all these names, but they all know.
Right.
So then but I like, get the ex reach.
It's our own level of protection. Right. It's like, no, right. but I didn't even use your name.
Yeah. And they're like, but you said I'm on this baseball team. I'm like, there's so many.
There's like 16 of you, right? Like,
right. With a bun, a man bun, right? Yeah. Like, fuck off.
Oh, baseball players, so hot.
Oh, so hot and so trouble and so many. It just.
I want to date a professional athlete so bad.
You do, but you don't.
Yeah, a date. I don't want to like. Yeah. Just date. I want to fuck around, have a moment. Yeah.
Fair. Some of them, though, it's like they're so focused on the sport. It's just like, can we just not talk about that for a minute? Like mid-sex, like, that game. I'm like, what are, like, it's just a lot.
But like the homosociality that exists in you know, sport,
right?
The boys in the locker room, like I have seen shit and heard stories. Like I have a cousin that like played hockey all his life growing up, and like when all the guys get together, like they all shower together still, like in a little fucking hotel room there could be multiple showers and they're all naked in the shower together, like the gayest shit I've ever seen in my life. I've seen a lot of gay shit, you know, but like it's there, right? Yeah. But it's not talked about.
Yeah, it's like hush hush. And it's like, why? Back to your relationship.
Yeah.
You and Bethany have been able to work through so much together. Do you believe there is someone out there, like a twin flame, as you call it, for everyone? And like, how do you find this person?
I don't think it's just one person. I think that like you can have as many as you want, really.
Like multiple twin flames?
Yeah, I do. How do you find that person? I think like, the first thing I want to say is like, if you're looking for love, right, you have to look for a friend first. You can't look for love first. Y'all have to like fall in love with each other as best friends and like tell each other everything. If you're scared to say something to your partner, you're not in the right relationship, no matter what it is.
I think that's hard too, though, because
it's really hard.
Then you're like, am I getting in too much to the friend zone? And I don't know if you've ever had that issue, but like, I know people write into me like, I want to have a best friend as a partner, but am I two best friends that we're now like losing that lust? And it's like this never ending.
I mean, time plays a huge part of this conversation, right? Like Bethany and I didn't just like wake up one morning and decide this is who we are and this is how we're going to live our lives. Like it's been 15 years of trying to figure out this dynamic that we have right now.
It's work.
Like, we didn't just decide that we were polyamorous. Like, we cheated on each other for a long fucking time. We didn't understand who we were. We were never in a real, like, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. We lived together in multiple different places. Like, dated sometimes the same people outside of... Really? Yeah, like, we, you know, we did a lot. And at a time when we didn't have the language for it. Like, nobody was fucking talking about this. Nobody was having these conversations 10 years ago. Even 5 years ago.
How did you and Bethany first discuss opening your relationship and transitioning to a polyamorous relationship?
Well, I mean, we always were. Like, we had group sex like pretty early in our relationship and like explored versions. Like, first year for sure.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How was that experience?
I'm not really a fan of group sex. I think it's like there's just too many parts in different places.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm definitely like a demisexual of sorts, throwing out terms here.
Explain.
I like really have to have an emotional connection to be able to have sex with someone, or else like my dick won't get hard. Like if I'm not in, I'm not in. So like I've been in those situations before and it sucks and it like doesn't feel good. And it's just like, okay, this isn't for me.
I respect how open you were about like, I couldn't get fucking hard.
Oh my God. Nobody talks about it.
It's literally your...
It happens to everybody.
Like everyone.
Yeah.
And I was saying this the other day, I'm like, if I had to have like a actual physical proof that I was actually having an orgasm, we wouldn't be having sex all the time, baby.
Nope. Y'all have it easy. What would be going on? Y'all have it easy. You can fake the shit off. We can't fake it.
Exactly.
And we could pop a pill.
Right.
Those work.
When did you just get so open? Like I couldn't get fucking hard. Like you just didn't give a fuck.
When I got sober later in life. I mean, I've been like with, you know, like really famous people like trying to have sex and I'm just like so fucking intimidated in the moment and not there and being like, fuck, like I can't do this, like it sucks, and like the other person, depending on who they are, right, like inevitably feels some sort of shame too, like is it me, right? Like that's a real thing. But like that's what I kind of am speaking to when I'm, using the term demisexual, is like, I need to be there with you where we can fucking talk about it and not feel like we can't say anything to each other.
Right.
Like, if we can't have a conversation about having sex, let alone like laugh with each other while we're fucking, like, right. I'm not interested. Yeah. I'm not interested. Like, it's a waste of energy, really, for me. And that's like where I am in my life.
That's such a good point to anyone listening. Like, when you're in that situation, you're like, I couldn't get hard. If you can't be like, fuck, and like laugh with your partner, laugh. Why were you even having sex with that person in the first place? Yeah. If you can't be comfortable enough to laugh off like, oh, okay, I can't get hard, then why were you about to like intimately? Well,
so much of it is about keeping score too, you know, right? And adding numbers to your list and just like, especially as a, like a dude, right? You know, and yeah. it's a whole other game.
Lose your body count.
Yeah. Like, come on now. Like,
stop.
There's a time and place, right, for body conversation. But like, what Miley was speaking to in your episode with her about being more into her sexuality than sex, right? Like, yep. I fully understand that. I'm on the same exact page.
Can you explain that from your perspective a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm definitely like happiest getting off by myself, for sure. Like, if I like am having a fleeting thought about like, oh, should I call this person? Should I go do this? Like, if I jerk off, like the thought doesn't even exist. Right. Like, yeah. And it's satisfying. I don't have to deal with the other person. Like it's where I am. Right. But like understanding my body and my energy and like how I can direct it and who I'm giving it to and like how I'm giving it to that person, like, and how my sexuality is represented both in private space and publicly. I spend a lot more time with that than I do fucking. We are so misinformed, and the conversations that we have about sex and sexuality and gender, like, we are at such basic elementary levels. It's still just so animalistic.
It's shocking.
It's shocking.
I remember starting my show and it was like a pretty basic concept of just being like, all my girls out there that are like, oh my God, like, he just doesn't get me off. And like, I haven't had an orgasm yet. And I'm like, wait, in your life? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, take yourself to the bedroom, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Get in there and enjoy yourself. Because if you don't know how to have an orgasm, how are they going to give you an 100%. Orgasm? And I think there was this concept of like, you need someone else to do it for you. And again, that goes back to the construct of like a man and a woman, and a man's penis needs to go. And it's like, that's how we were almost raised to see, like, this is sex. And then you make a baby and it's like, wait, like, right. You can get off on your own. Yeah. You don't need someone else.
You can do it on your own together too. You don't need to get off to have sex either. Like,
right.
You don't need to have penetration to have sex, right? Like,
yeah.
Especially when you're talking about queer relationships, right? Like, and you know, two people that have vaginas, right? Like, right. It's a different thing. I have a question for you. Have you ever dated a guy or been with a guy that's been with men?
No, but I have had a partner that was very open to the point where I was like, I think he's probably interested in the amount of times there was a reference, like, let's have a threesome with a guy, which made me want to also do it, not just for me, but for him. Like, I was like, it seemed like he was very interested in that.
Was it more that he just wanted to see you get fucked by another dude, or that like, no, he wanted to get
that? Because I've had that like dynamic as well. I could tell the pull was more towards the man. And I feel like I tried to make as much of an open space about like, well, then let's just like, I would just try to make it as a dynamic conversation as possible anytime it was brought up, not almost to make it about me. But I've never dated someone that was openly like, hey, I've had sex with another man.
Okay. So if you, hypothetical situation, if you like meet someone, you're not in a relationship, he's like, hey, listen, like, I'm bi.
Right.
What's your response?
Great. Tell me more.
You're in.
I think I would want to know more. I've never been in a polyamorous relationship, Nico. Like, I've never done the whole open thing. And so I think I would need to know more about the way they would go about a relationship. Like, right. But if you're with me, are we in a monogamous relationship, or are you more interested in XYZ? Like, I would have to understand, but I don't think at face value, if someone's like, I'm bi, I'm like, great.
Where okay. Take the relationship out of it just from like a sex standpoint. Like, hey, I'm going to go fuck this dude. But like, I know that like he was potentially with a dude last week. What's the thought there?
I think if you asked me this question 5 years ago,
right.
I would have said, I don't think so.
Right.
Does that mean he's gay? And I can openly say that because I know other people listening would be like, me too. Oh, yeah.
The
like
majority that, of that's, people.
Girls would be like, oh, is he gay?
Right. Girls will say that.
Yes.
Because of how hyper overly sexualized women are. And like we put bisexual and pansexual and the Miley Cyruses of the world on this fucking pedestal. Right.
And then it's like, why
But we can't even begin to have the conversation about the dude or the person that has a penis, right? It's like it's the script is totally flipped, and it's really the only situation where it is.
I agree. It's like, wait, why can I have a sexual experience with a woman? Hot. Oh my God.
Beautiful.
An upcoming partner would be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Would you be down to do that again with me involved?
Because they're not threatened.
Exactly.
Right.
Whereas you flip it, and yes, like I, in the past, I wasn't educated enough. Right. I also am fortunate that I feel like this show has opened my fucking eyes and I'm like using it for myself and others to hopefully, not that it's anyone's duty to like educate, but it's helping me get to a place where I'm like, yeah, I would be okay.
How many years have you been doing this now?
I'm on my third year.
You're on your third year.
It's been a journey.
So I started my podcast pretty much the same age that you did.
Oh, wow.
And I was having very similar conversations. Okay. It was all sex, sexuality, gender, identity. Open fucking discussion. And it was at a point where like I was taking my education public, like specifically around queer theory and queer identity.
Right.
Like I didn't know shit. And I realized that out of like abruptly when like the news came out, Nico's fluid, fuck, I need to have these conversations. I need to own this fucking narrative before someone else throws it on me. And thank God for the podcast, because I learned more about the human condition and just the way the world operates more having these conversations than I did anywhere else. So I know what you're going
through
right
now. And don't you feel like I'm so fortunate that I'm sitting with you? Because I'll admit, like, I get nervous for every interview. I'm like, I want to be respectful. I want to learn. I want to share. Mm-hmm. I want to be vulnerable. I want you to feel comfortable. I want to feel comfortable.
But this is a very rare thing. And I see what I have in you, too, that, like, you're just down to go.
Right.
In.
Like
and talk about shit that other people don't want to talk about or haven't talked about in the past. And it's a very, very special thing. And like, kudos to you for going in. Like, congrats on your success and everything that you've accomplished. It's so beautiful. Like, keep going though. Like, keep fucking pushing yourself. And like, going back to that idea of like, once that veil's lifted, right? You can't ever put it back down.
Right.
So the more that you take in, the more you're going to have.
I agree with you, because I think you get it. Like, having a platform, I'm more aware what I'm saying. I don't want to offend, but I also want to push to learn and know.
Yeah.
So there's a balance of being respectful and also like pushing the boundary of like, hold on, I know this may not be like my area, but I'm like, no, fuck it. Like, sit down, talk with me. And that's why I think like, yes, you asking the question, like I did get a little uncomfortable because I'm like, am I allowed to say that? Yes. 5 years ago, I would have said, I don't know. Is he gay? Is that like, is there going to be an issue? And now I can happily say no, because I've done my research and now
I want to know more.
Yeah. And I'm way more open than I was 5 years ago,
right?
Which I think is
it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
And like, thank you to Call Her Daddy, right? For that.
Back to your relationship, because I think polyamory, it was interesting. You discussed like, at first we were cheating. So I guess like what you were like, we were cheating. We were trying to figure out ourselves.
But like neither of us ever got mad about it.
Really?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Like Bethany would go out of town and I would have someone stay with me for a few days. And like they would come back and like pretend to be mad. Like
Nico.
Like yeah, but like not actually mad, right? And then like they would go sleep with someone just like out of spite to like, you know, match up.
Yeah.
But like, we both kind of always laughed about it. Like, I am the least jealous person I've ever met in my life.
Can you explain that?
I don't know how to. Like, sometimes I wish I was more jealous in certain aspects of my life. But like, in terms of like sex and love, like we have so much to share.
Right.
And like, if I'm with my partner, if I'm with Bethany and something else will make them happy, if like they need a physical connection or even an emotional connection, like go, like do it, explore, have it. Like it will only bring us closer.
Have you always been that way?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten jealous?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
Dating men was a little different.
Why do you think?
I mean, I just think like the masculine feminine dynamic in certain relationships that I've been in, like shift, and like they even shift with Bethany, like from week to week, like, you know, we ebb and flow.
Right.
I had a partner. This hotel is bringing back lots of memories too.
You almost let me forget. Did you fuck on this chair? Like, what are we doing? What's happening?
I fucked all over this hotel. I basically lived in the presidential suite. Windows open, fucked, like going.
When? How long ago?
5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago.
Was it a great experience? Are those the memories?
Yeah, fucking beautiful. And he's like still such an important person in my life. And it was like the first time I've been in like a power dynamic where I was lesser and I was known. It taught me so much about myself and what I truly value in the world.
Why was the power dynamic so obvious and off?
I mean, have you ever dated someone that's just like has so much fucking money that it's just stupid?
When I didn't have
nothing.
What I
have. Yeah. I mean, not nothing, but yes. Right. But I always say it's like, it's kind of like playing a video game. Like when you get the cheat code, the game's like kind of just not fun anymore. Like,
yeah.
And it was the first time that like, I felt like I wasn't worth as much as I am. Like emotionally, spiritually.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And he also like lived in another country. We like didn't really see each other. It was like a whole thing.
Those relationships necessary in a good way and a bad way. Like you really, now the fact that you were like, and then I left there and I like, I was like, oh, now I have an idea and a gauge of like what works for me and what doesn't.
We tried it a few times. It was like, a year here, off for a little bit.
You always think maybe it'll be...
Maybe next time. Well, first started dating when I was drinking, or still. And that kind of like all fucking exploded.
Oh, wow.
And then I got sober. And I was
how
like...
How different was that
dynamic? It was a totally different dynamic.
But
like I really fucked shit up the first time. Like I really broke his heart really, really terribly. It was just like I sent a fucking email. Like it was bad. And then I wound up in the hospital.
The emails.
I'm so grateful for the experience. Like I would never change anything that happened. But you know, the second time around, like I always had to make it up. Right. Like I was.
Oh, you're just like chasing what you, and it's like you can never.
I can never apologize enough.
Right.
Yeah. Perfect dynamic. Wrong time. I mean, he's like the other great love of my life. And there will always be a thought in my head, like, what if?
And I fucking brought you to the Dominic today.
And you fucking
me
back
what
here.
What the?
Like, this is really, this is where it all started, was here.
Did it look a little bit like this? You're like, no, it was bigger, bitch.
I can't. Three floors, like, giant, full glass.
I have been in that room.
Yes, you have.
And it's wild.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks, girl. Appreciate it.
Good for you. If someone has never been in a polyamorous relationship and they're like, maybe I would want to try this, but like they're terrified that it may ruin their relationship. What would you say to that? Like from your experience?
I mean, any relationship, monogamous, poly, questioning, any single relationship needs to be based in honesty and communication. And friends, family members, like not even just romantic relationships, right? Like, and if you're too scared to tell the person how you are potentially feeling or what your interests are or what your desires are, desire plays a huge part in this. If you can't get to that place, you're probably not going to have a polyamorous relationship.
Right.
And your relationship is going to be struggled. It just is. And so I would say, like, if you feel like you can tell your partner anything, you can have that conversation. If you can't, spend more time together and see if you can get to that spot.
You know? And also if you can't, again, that's right. Regardless of whether it's polyamorous or monogamous, like if you can't share something with your partner,
anything,
that's a gauge of just where you're at in the relationship, right, in general. Not even to just talk about what you want to do sexually, emotionally, like it's just like in general, like
that's also where you are with yourself, yeah, right? Like if you're right, holding on to secrets, and it's like, what's, let's unpack that first. So, yeah.
The other person, partner out for a minute. What yeah, about you?
I mean, why they're can't? Just a mirror of who you are, right, anyway. The relationship is, it's like we are one, right?
Right.
And so like, if you're not one, why? And if it's worth it, how do we get there?
Are there guidelines that you've set within your relationship?
So every poly relationship is totally different, right?
Yep.
And like poly, non-monogamous, every relationship in general, totally yeah, different, right? Like we have our own set of rules and guidelines that like aren't fixed. Okay. They change. They have changed over the years. Where we are right now, just in terms of like sexuality, the like that aspect of our relationship, Bethany only dates women for the most part, biological, like cis women. So the thought of Bethany going and being with another dude is like never really even on the table. I am attracted. I have a much more pan approach. Like I look past gender, genitalia, like I can be with anyone. I'm attracted to spirit. Like I fall in love real fast. But like the rule from the get, from when we really decided to get married, was I can't be in a relationship with anyone else that could potentially get pregnant. And so that takes cis girls and trans men off the table. And like, you know, the follow-up question to that is like, what if a girl can't get pregnant? What if someone that like has a vagina actually can't get pregnant? But like, we're not there yet. Like, right, we're still at like anyone that has a vagina has off limits for me.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I mean, there are like, there have been moments in our relationship where I'm like, fuck, like this person, like we have such an amazing connection. Bethany is number one, no matter what, like, okay. But like, let's talk about it. Right. Right? And that is probably the most difficult conversation that we have.
Right.
And it's something that we're still unpacking, right? And like in theory, like, you know, we preach this, like, we're so open, we're like queer, we've like understood each other, right? We're non-binary. That is a complicated conversation to have around genitalia when you preach such an open message. And like, I'll be the first to say we are all walking fucking contradictions. None of us are perfect. None of us abide by the rules that we fucking set. Like, we're all a mess. All of us.
A disaster.
Every single person.
In the best way.
In the some better than others.
Yeah.
Right? Some better than others.
Yeah.
So like we're still unpacking that shit, right? And like, will it be that way forever? Probably not. But like we have, like, I don't even know what forever is.
When you, because I'm assuming that was not always the case until you decided you wanted to have children.
Well, for the most part, I was only dating men for a long time.
Okay.
And trans women.
Okay.
And there was a point where like I had a really serious cis girlfriend, and like we were like on the fast track. We were friends for a long time, and this is like, I don't know, six years ago.
Okay.
And it was the first time Bethany was like, oh, I'm going to lose you. Like, this is it. I'm going to lose you to her. And this gets complicated. So basically, like, Bethany was dating a girl at the time. They were also talking about marriage and having kids. If they were going to get pregnant, I was going to be the one that was going to provide the material. And that was just always the case. And the girl that I was dating, we were talking about having kids. And she was basically like, you can't do that if we're doing this. And I was like, fuck. Which I get. No shade. Like, I fully understand it, right? Like, it makes perfect sense. But it was like the first time that Bethany and I were made to have that conversation for real. Like, okay, this is on the table. What does this mean for us?
Right.
And that is when, like, we started sleeping together for the first time in years after those conversations happened.
You weren't even sleeping together.
Oh, no.
It's a full emotional relationship at that point.
Yeah, we spent years as best friends. Years.
Okay.
Bethany had a really intense relationship with, they're non-binary now, but they weren't when they were dating. And spent a lot of time with them, like years. And I had a handful of relationships with men at the time, a couple trans girls. But maybe 3.5-4 years that we weren't sleeping together.
And how did you like talk often?
Every day. We were still each other's emergency contacts.
Have you ever had a situation where you're so into someone and then they're like, wait, but I don't fuck with you being with also someone else. And then obviously you're like, well, that's not how I roll. But then have you ever been like, then just gone exclusive with someone for a minute and had your thing?
Mm-hmm. I have for sure. Even when I've been like in a really serious, more romantic relationship with Bethany, we've like given each other the space. Like, okay, we're not going to, like Bethany and I aren't going to sleep together right now. Like I'm going to go explore this for a little bit. The dynamic is always shifting.
Yep.
Always. I mean, like I'll say it again. We are the most like fucking straight passing monogamous we've ever been in our entire lives. And it's a weird, weird thing. Like, you know, I don't identify as queer and non-binary, right? Like I am those things, and like I think a lot more people are than choose to admit, but you know, those parts of me, like we get this question all the time, like, well, are you still poly? Like are you still in an open relationship? Like yes, of course, like right. our open relationship is like a state of being. It's not like a state of action. And our polyamory is defined a lot by like the spiritual and emotional relationships that we have with other people. It's not about sex. People have this preconceived notion that I'm out here fucking all the time, you know? But we can't talk about sex. We can't separate sex from love. Like we're not there. Once the internet is fucking hooked up into our brains, the conversations that we're having now will be so fucking, we will look back at these conversations and laugh. Like just speaking of identity, like in general right now, like what's happening with gender and transness, like we've come such a long way and there are so many more identities than we all ever thought possible.
Right.
But once that fucking connection happens, once we can actually become transhuman, robotic, fucking game changed.
Right.
This is going to seem silly. But like, I'm also like, fucking move me to Buck County
and
put Bucks County, put me on that farm
and give me a book. Like,
yeah, take everything away.
What does it mean to be a future man for you?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's like more about the future person, right? Like the face of man has changed, right? Like we're not in the same place that we were a few years ago. And men are having a really fucking hard time with that. Like, I'm sure you've sat in rooms with a bunch of white dudes being like, well, we're the fucking ones now. Yeah. Like, what about us? You know, like very real.
Yeah.
Very real. So it's happening whether or not they want it to,
you know,
But the future person, right, knows more. I think the future man is willing to do the work and willing to like understand how they got to where they are in the first place, what it means, right? What their relationship with their father was like, and truly wants to treat people well. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Like, the future man is kind. The future man loves you as much as he loves himself. If not more. As a non-binary person, right, I have a hard time having the men and women conversation. I'm not saying this in a negative way, but like, you know, the white woman feminism movement is very specific. And like, that's where this conversation lives. And as somebody who understands the complexities of identity, and is still unpacking and trying to do the work and like sees beyond this binary that was put on us. This binary of men and women did not exist internationally pre-religious indoctrination and colonialism. It just didn't. Like, the church did this to us. The church is the reason why we're having this conversation. And once you start to like realize how we got here and how young the idea of man and woman actually is, like, it's fucking stupid. It's all made up. And like, this emphasis that we have on like men and women and like women's power, and this is the time, I get it. I'm not saying that like it's not important, but it's at a very basic level of understanding how the world operates and how we got here.
I agree.
Like, I'm just, I'm living higher than one of the many. We can't even have a fucking conversation about race. We can't talk about black and white. We're still there.
Yeah.
So if you think we can talk about gender or fucking internal identity, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, we're just not. That's how it is.
Yeah. That's
some people like don't want to look at it. Right. And like, think it's silly and stupid. And like, it has nothing to do with their lives. Like, think about the amount of people that actually know a trans person, like firsthand. The number is very, very small. Very small. In high school, my principal came out as trans. Eighth grade. I spent a lot of time in the principal's office. In eighth grade, she came back as Dr. Reed. Dr. Reed was a man. Sixth and seventh grade, came back as a female. I was introduced to identity at a very young age. But like, it's still so fucking alien for so many people.
Right.
And the representations that we have, albeit like have gotten a lot better, but it's still complicated, you know? And I think like body modification is an entirely different conversation than even transness. And, you know, I was thinking about this when I was listening to the Miley episode and even she was saying like comparing balls to tits, right? Like tits are prettier than balls. Okay. But have you ever been with a person that has tits and balls? Let me tell you, it's fucking beautiful. It's dangerous to have that conversation as men versus women because some of the greatest women that I know have fucking dicks and balls. Some of the greatest women I know. And like, we have to change the language and it's not going to happen overnight. It's hard. Like it's really fucking hard as someone who understands transness and identity and like being other than what was assigned. Like, I never had the thought that I was born in the wrong body. Like, mm-hmm. I love my body. There are some things that I should change and probably will, but I wasn't born in the wrong body. We all were born in the wrong world. We're fucked.
Yeah. It's like, we just got to keep fucking talking.
And creating art and having conversations. You're telling stories. You're documenting life right now. You are keeping time. That is the most important thing that we do as human beings. This is art.
What can you say now about how young Nico navigated the Hollywood system knowing that it's designed for straight white men?
Yeah, I did an event not that long ago and I had like a handful of the most like influential, powerful, transgender, nonconforming voices. Like, we were all on a panel having a conversation. We sat and had dinner afterwards and someone was there who's a trans person who's also an actor, looks at me and was like, how do you do it? How do you go play a cis dude now that you know who you are? And my answer was like, he is me. Like, that's how I was raised. That's everything that I knew for 25 years of my life. That's who I was. And like, this idea of like being non-binary and like, I am not man, I am not woman, I am whatever the space between, right? Like, I am man, I am woman, I am all of it is you. Like, I wouldn't change a fucking thing because I was able to really get here. I'm more cautious about the future than I am like looking back and like wanting things to go differently.
Right.
Like 2020 really, you know, it just puts so much into perspective.
Yeah.
And like priorities. And like, you know, like I unfollowed everyone on Instagram except for my family. And like, I talked to my family more than I ever did. And it's like, what's important to me today is so much different than what it was 2 years ago. And like, do you ever go back and listen to podcasts?
I can't.
You can't do it.
I would rather fling myself somewhere uncomfortable. No.
Yeah. Go back and
because
listen to
I'm
a
so
podcast
different.
You did 3 years ago.
The tone of my fucking voice mm-hmm. was different. It was affected. I was trying to play this crazy sex, like not a bimbo, but like I was definitely playing a character that I'm like, actually kind of like what you're saying. Like, yes, there's a part of me that was like college Alex.
Of course.
Fucking wild.
And like, killed it, I'm sure.
But that's not fully me. So like looking back, I'm like, oh my God, what was I doing? But no, then I have to be like, I fucking love that version of myself and I love this version of myself.
But in 3 years, you're going to listen to this episode.
And be like, what the fuck? Thing. Why didn't I ask them
and it
XYZ?
Never stops. It never stops. And that's why like, I'm so grateful for all the versions that I've lived and I don't know what the future is going to look like, especially having kids. Like, holy fuck. I'm so excited to be a parent.
It's excited for you.
The only, like, it is what's driving my life right now. Like, everything else is backseat.
Did you always know you wanted kids?
Always. Yeah. Always. Mm-hmm.
You're going to be an amazing parent.
I want all of them. 10 fucking kids running
around. 10 in Bucks County. In fucking Bucks.
I have a brother-in-law that has 8. And they're the best kids in the entire world.
That's amazing.
And they're all homeschooled. Like,
do you think you'll homeschool?
I don't know what the world's going to look like.
Right. Facts.
I don't know. Like, who the fuck knows? This may not even be here by the time.
I think we're all different from COVID.
We share an experience.
Yeah. Like, everyone in the world, like, we all lived it.
Leveled the playing field in so many ways. You can kind of get away with things that you couldn't before. And I think we're definitely going to see a shift in social justice and identity politics and, like, cancel culture and sensitivity. Like, I think things are going to start breaking through and people are going to really start saying what they want.
I agree.
And, like, not fucking worrying about getting canceled. Fucking cancel me. Like, I don't care at this point. Like, you can't, please, like, you can't take cancel me out. Someone. Take I'm me out still of my misery. Here. Yeah. Like, yes.
That's what I sat down with Tiffany Haddish and she was like, cancel me. Like, what do you mean, can't? Okay. I'll just start a show. Like, you, there's
it's one of the most dangerous things
that we've ever done. It's so dangerous and toxic. But I agree with you. If there's something positive we can look at from this pandemic, it is that we all shared an experience and maybe.
And just how fragile life is, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, how do we continue to create life? That's what I'm holding on to. That's what gets me through every day. We're here to create life and love.
Nico.
This has been lovely.
It was honestly a pleasure and honor. Yeah. Thank you so much.
For real.
Thank
you. Congrats on everything that you got going.
Okay. Hi, Daddy Gang. I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. I'm excited. I also have already spoken to Nico and I'm like, we need a part two. Like, I feel like, yes, we scratched the surface and broached topics that we've never talked about on Call Her Daddy. But even after leaving that interview, I was like, fuck, like, I should have asked more. I wish I had asked more. I want to know more. And so that will definitely not be the last of Nico Tortorella. But this episode, I will say in reflection after editing it, this interview left me feeling more aware of my privilege. And with this platform, I know I can do better. I know who I've had on. I'm proud of who I've had on. I'm proud of the topics I've discussed. I'm proud of the history of Call Her Daddy. But moving forward, it's just opening my eyes to so much more that can be done. I hope, as it did for me, like, this interview also sparked you to ask yourself some new questions. Would you be comfortable dating someone who identifies as bisexual or non-binary? Do you have any trans friends? And I asked myself these questions and maybe I didn't like the answers. So I can choose to ignore it and just keep living my life or change. I'll see you fuckers next Wednesday.